Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. The prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my
good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this weekend before the 4th of July. We celebrate the independence of this great nation of ours, and I'm so thankful to be an American. And that medley of songs was sung by the Brothers of the Heart, a newer group produced by the Gaither people over in Alexandria, Indiana. So thanks for listening today, and I hope the program will be a blessing to you as we share the sermon and the songs. But we want to give thanks for our country. As much as we don't like what is going on in so many places around America and in Washington, D.C., we still have the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and I'm grateful to be an American today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the listening audience. And I pray that as we celebrate this week the independence of our country, that we would also celebrate the independence that we have in Jesus Christ. We are dependent upon him, and he gives us great spiritual independence. I'm so thankful for that, Father, and I thank you for the sacrifice made that we might know freedom in Christ. Bless the listening audience, especially those who are sick and shut in today, and I pray that you would continue to bless this radio program as it's aired week after week. Bless in our ministry as we travel from place to place, especially in the camp meetings where we will be this summer, and I pray for that person that's sick, that person that's dealing with cancer, and we know we have friends that listen to the program and support the program who are dealing with cancer, and I pray for them today. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this weekend, I am concluding Sharon Center Holiness Camp Meeting in Wadsworth, Ohio, the place of my spiritual birth, 1963, July the 4th, 1963. So I will celebrate a spiritual birthday this coming week. And then I'm going to travel July the 9th to Springfield, Ohio, High Street Church of the Nazarene for morning services only. And then July 13 to 23, Flovilla, Georgia, Indian Springs Holiness Camp Meeting, one of the great holiness camps in the South. And then July 27 to August 6, Portage, Ohio, Portage Holiness Camp Meeting. So pray for us. Help us if you can. Send us a letter with a gift to help us stay on your station. It'll mean so much. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, the Bible tells us. That's in John chapter 16, verse 13. But while he will not speak of himself, he is the executor of all things spiritual. If you're saved, it's because the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sins. And you recognize the need to come and confess your sins. If you're sanctified, and some came forward to make that a reality in their lives last night, then it was because the Holy Spirit came and revealed to you the need to have something done about the carnal nature. Something inside of you with which you were born that needed to be surrendered to God so that he might not only be the forgiver of your sins, but that he might also cancel the power of sin in your life. When you're tempted, it is the Holy Spirit who comes alongside to aid you so that you might resist temptation and not fall prey to its suggestions. It is the Holy Spirit who opens your mind for understanding. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you the wisdom and the courage to go outside these walls and share the love of Jesus Christ with people who do not know him personally. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, Christianity would be nothing more than another lifeless religion. And with that in mind this morning, I'm going to take you on an express trip through the early days of the first century church. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read this, Jesus promising to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would be given upon his departure. And he said this in verse 8 of chapter 1. He said, "But you, disciples, apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The day of Pentecost has come. The disciples in that upper room have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost came, the 120 in the upper room were all together in one place. Verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed, notice the language, for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter has been in Joppa. Cornelius, a Roman centurion of the Italian regiment in Caesarea. He was a devout and God-fearing man. He sent for Peter, who was in Joppa, and Peter arrived there at his house, and he began to speak the word of the Lord to Cornelius and his household. And it says in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Aren't we glad? Acts chapter 15, verse 7. This is at the Jerusalem Council. Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe." Verse 8, "God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them." How? "By giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith." Every one of those passages has a common denominator. Those involved received the gift of the Holy Spirit. An evangelist friend of mine was speaking at a large Methodist camp down in the state of Georgia. And one day he decided to just spend some time outside, take a walk outside over this large campground. He decided to invite his young daughter, Emily, to go with him. And she was 4 years old. And so he said, "Emily, let's take a walk." And Emily looked at her father and said, "Can I invite my cousin, Fred, to go with us?" Fred was also 4 years old. So this trio, an adult and 2 4-year-old children, began to walk around this campground. And they walked down the path, turned around a large building, and came face to face with a life-size statue of John Wesley, dressed in his Geneva robe. And little Fred was taken aback. And he said, "Who on earth is that?" And Emily, 4 years old, looked at her 4-year-old cousin and said, "Don't you know who that is? That's the shadow of God. That's the shadow of God." My friend who told the story said, "I have no idea how she came up with that description." But when you go to the Word of God, you will find that the disciples did miraculous work for the kingdom of God early on in the life of the first century church. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, it says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Did you hear the passage? So that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Now here's the proposition for this congregation for my last time with you during these revival services. Here it is. Everyone cast a shadow. Everyone cast a shadow. Every church cast a shadow. And it will either be the shadow of a nominal, oh, I go to church kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, or it will be a shadow of spiritual empowerment. Every church will cast a shadow. It will be the shadow of a church in a community where people say, yeah, that's a good church, that's a fine church, and it's all good and well. Or it will be the shadow of a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to the point that people will pass by and say, God is doing something through that church. Everybody is going to cast a shadow. Wouldn't it be something if when we walked into a room as an individual who is filled with the Holy Spirit, that it was though Jesus walked into the room? Well, believe it or not, this morning, my friend, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to cast that kind of spiritual influence. You never met my mother? My mother was a wonderful lady. She's been with Jesus now over 22 years. She had such an impact on my life. She casts such a huge shadow over the lives of her five children and her husband that her shadow is still having an effect today. She had such an influence over my life. I never wanted to do anything that would disappoint my mother. I couldn't lie to my mother. I respected her so much. I knew in my heart that when I came to know Jesus Christ, I wanted to know Jesus the way my mother knew Jesus. I remember one of the last times we had the Crabtree reunion. My mother's maiden name was Crabtree. And we had the Crabtree reunion, and we were there. I think my mother sensed something that day. This might be the last chance I will have to challenge my brothers and sisters and their families regarding their relationship with Christ. And I remember sitting there, and my mother stood, and she began to share her heart with her brothers and sisters. She said, I want you to know Jesus. I don't want any of you to miss heaven. I want you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if you haven't already done that. And I stood there. My father was sitting beside my mother, and he watched my mother. He was normally the spokesperson. He was the out front person. He was the evangelist. But now my mother, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people that she loved. This 98-pound, ninth-grade educated, never drove a car woman was standing, and she was casting an incredible shadow across the people who had gathered there in that fellowship hall on that Sunday afternoon. Everybody will cast a shadow. And here this morning, I believe the corporate cry of this generation to us is that we've listened to you. We've watched you. We've seen your programs. We've heard you rattle the sword of Christian jihad. Now we would like to see the genuine item. We would like to see the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life that makes a difference in you and makes a difference in your church and makes a difference in our world. We're going to cast a shadow, folks. And I repeat, it will either be the shadow of nominal go-to-church religion, or it will be the shadow of spiritual empowerment. And by revisiting the early days of the first century church, we can see what casting a huge spiritual shadow will involve. Three things, and here's the first. We're going to cast a giant spiritual shadow. It will mean we will have to experience the power of the Holy Spirit personally. The power that filled the disciples and the apostles in the upper room and gave birth to the church of which you and I are a part is still available to every one of us in this building this morning. Just before ascending back to the Father, Jesus gives one final command to those followers of His. And He says, and we read it there in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we read it earlier, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." We're going to cast a shadow. A dear friend of mine who is one of my spiritual mentors, he's a noted church leadership consultant. He told a story one day. He said, "I was invited by a church that was really in dire straits as far as the congregation was concerned." He said, "They were about to implode." He said, "They hired me to come in and spend time with their leadership to help them right the ship, to help them get to the place where the church could get back to the business of the church." He said, "I spent the entire day with them." He said, "I gave them all the training that I had, suggested what they could or should not do." And he said, "They rejected everything I said." He said, "I just felt like slapping them, every one of them." He said, "At the end of the day," he said, I've given you everything I've got. I have nothing more to say. Maybe the Holy Spirit during our time together today has given one of you something and you can share it with the group." He said there was an old farmer sitting there in that room of leadership people, and he had not said a word the entire day. He was sitting at the back of the room and he was leaning in his chair against the back wall of that room. He was dressed in bib overalls, a flannel shirt, and brogan shoes. And he said that old farmer spoke up at that moment in time and he said, "Here's what I think we ought to do." He said, "I think we ought to dynamite the whole thing. Just dynamite the whole thing." What he didn't realize, he was giving a subtitle to the book of Acts. Do you know where we get the word dynamite? It's the Greek word dynamos. It's the word power that's used here. "But you receive dynamite." You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It'll not be your power. It'll not be the power of the church. It'll be the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated in your life. Could it be today, my friend, that we need the dynamite of the Holy Spirit to come and blow up and blow out, get rid of that which is holding us back as people of God? Amen. You see, over time, here's what happens. Over time, the debris of attitudes, words, mindsets that are antiquated, a mentality that says, "Well, we've always done it this way before," has a way of getting in the way, and it needs to be blown out of the way. I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but sometime I think the church gets spiritually constipated. Something needs to be done about that which is restricting the flow of the Holy Spirit. And hear it this morning, folks, and many of you recognize this and we need to see it again. This generation of which you and I are a part will not sit still for some kind of clutching, dig in your heels attitude that's been in place in so many churches for so many years. This is the show me generation. Show me why I ought to come to your church. That's right. Don't just invite me. That's right. Show me why I ought to believe in your Jesus. Don't just tell me you're a Christian. Show me what makes a difference in your life personally. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is likened unto a river. And he should have an unobstructed flow in and out of our lives. My father was a great evangelist. And in one of his sermons I was listening to not too long ago, he made this observation. And so I took it, put it in this sermon. He said, when the Holy Spirit, if you have him, if you have the inflow of the Spirit, that will create the upflow of the Spirit, causing the overflow of the Spirit, which produces and results in the outflow of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus is here to bless all his children, his sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. Jesus is here to bless all his children, his sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. The lame came and walked, the dumb came and they talked, the deaf left hearing his word. The blind came to see, sin's captives set free, those who remained left believing his word. Is here to bless all his children, his sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. Jesus is here to bless all his children, his sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. His sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.